anything God wants to do?
Tough question. He can do a lot. He can do anything for people, right?
That's a hard question to answer.
God gives people hope. People who do follow religious teachings, it definitely gives them hope and kind of a purpose if they don't necessarily have one themselves.
He can wake us up in the morning. He can put us to rest whenever he gets ready. He can take us home. He can, help us, guide us, give us wisdom, anything.
Back us up and give us hope that everything's going to be all right.
That's where my faith wearies a little bit, because I don't know if you can't really say he can do anything for you.
Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 1, reading to verse 6. Now this morning I'm going to read this from the King James Version. You know, there's some portions of Scripture that just seem right when you read it from the King James. And how many of you cut your teeth spiritually on King James Version? Let me see your hands. Wave them at me. Yes, we all know what we're talking about when we say the King James Version here. And we're going to look at it together this morning as we talk about faith is substantive. Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 1, says, "Now faith is the substance." Faith is a fact. We're going to look at that further this morning. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it," that is by faith, "the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made out of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now look at verse 1 once again. Now faith is a fact. Faith is the substance. It's not just smoke and mirrors of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is a commodity, then, the Bible tells us, that is so important that without faith it is impossible to please God. Now here's the good news for each and every one of us this morning. We don't have to go out and try to cook up, find, or dig up faith somewhere. The good news is you have faith. You possess faith this morning. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, "You've got faith." Now turn to him and say, "You've got it, baby." You've got faith. Each and every one of us possess faith this morning. The Bible tells us that God has given to us the measure of faith. You see, faith was part of the creation package. Faith resides inside of each and every one of us this morning. Like we possess a heart, a lung, and a liver, God has created us body, soul, and spirit, that he also gave us this measure of faith. Now, when God shaped Adam from the dust of the ground, the Bible tells us he created him body, soul, and spirit, which is a trichotomy, which simply means three parts. So the three parts being then a body, that's the physical part of us. We've got a soul, which is the thinking part of us, or our mind. And then we have the spirit, which is the eternal part of our lives. Now, I personally like to think of creation something like this. Now, as you look at the Genesis account, you'll discover that, first of all, the creation of man was an intentional act. It was not an accident. Nor are you an accident this morning. God chose you. God planned for you. You are the heartthrob of God. Someone said, if God has a refrigerator, your picture's on it. And if God has a billfold, your picture is in the billfold. He wants to show it to every angel in heaven. God is head over heels in love about you. So first of all, as I read that Genesis account, the first thing that stands out is the Bible says it was an intentional act. God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Then the Bible says God formed and fashioned Adam's physical body from the dust of the ground. I kind of like to imagine God scooping up a pile of dust, and from that pile of dust, he begins to shape and begin to form what is going to be the physical body of Adam. After having completed this act of creation, he looks at Adam and he says, this is good. This is a good thing. Looking at his creation, however, he is like a mannequin. He's all physically there. Every part is in place, yet there's no life. And so God takes this Adam, this form and shape that he had made with his own hands, and he places the breath of life within him. And the Bible says he became a living soul. Now again, I imagine God saying as he looks at Adam, he is now not only physically alive, he has got a spirit that's in him, he's got a mind that's working. God looks at him and he says, this is really, really good. But it's not finished yet. Then God adds the finishing touch to man. And that finishing touch, we read about in the book of Romans, he gave him a measure of faith. Faith so that Adam could connect. Faith so that Adam could communicate with his creator. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, it declares, God hath allotted to each a measure of faith. So God has given then, the Bible tells us, to each and every one a measure of faith. So not only are we a body, a soul, and a spirit, we possess faith. And from birth on, as we talked about last week, we invest that measure of faith every day, all life long. We live by faith. Last night when we went to bed, most of us set an alarm clock. How many set an alarm clock last night? Now there are those of you that just, you know, you've got that body clock that wakes you up at the same time every single day. My clock is broken. Therefore, I set not one clock, I set two clocks. I've got one that's within reach and the other that I have to get out of bed to get to. Otherwise, I have the tendency just to go over and slap something. My wife's usually out of the way by that time. Slap something until it goes off and it's quiet. But here's the deal. We set our alarm clocks last night believing that we would awaken in the morning, that we would go about a new day and enjoy life. So we set the alarm, and we did so by faith. Then this morning after we were awakened, we got into the shower, we cleaned up for the day, all of that, every step we've taken is by faith. Went to our automobiles, trusting and believing they would start. Maybe there were some challenges along the way, but nonetheless, we got into our vehicles by faith. We started them down the highway again by faith. All of this is by faith. We live by faith. Now, last week we discovered that faith then is omnidirectional, meaning that faith in and of itself does not have direction. Faith, like a laser or like a fire hose or even a gun, faith can and must be directed or aimed. Each and every one of us volitionally chooses where we're going to direct then our God-given measure of faith. Like all the points of a compass, faith can be aimed in any given direction. We see those that put all of their faith in technology. All of their faith is placed in medicine. All of their faith is in education. As man is better educated, there will be no wars. As man is better educated, all friction and problems will go away. It's all found in medicine, technology, education, or possibly even in government. government's going to solve everything, and all their hopes and dreams is who's in the White House, who's in the Kremlin, who is in control of the UN, somewhere. Government's going to solve all of this, and that's their faith. Others have placed their faith in themselves. They consider themselves self-made men, and if it's going to be done, they're going to do it. There's no God that's going to come to their aid. And so they live their lives as autonomous, self-made individuals, believing that they believe in themselves, and that is sufficient to get out of every circumstance of life. Still others, they put all their hopes and dreams in their friends. They trust in their friends. Their faith is in their friends, and they've come to realize some of the best of friends may abandon them, and still others have chosen, like most of us in this room this morning, we have chosen volitionally, nobody made us do it. We chose to take that measure of faith and place it in God. So friends, faith then, that's right, give God applause. Faith then is omnidirectional, and you alone will determine where it is directed. Now back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now I want you to notice there, while that's on the screen, there's two key words. The first one is substance. Faith has substance, and faith is evidence. You see, genuine faith has real substance to it. Faith is not ethereal. It's not smoke and mirrors. Faith is not an irrational leap into some dark unknown. From the time of higher criticism on, there's always been those of higher learning, higher education that have said, we dare take on a belief in God. And we are so wise and we are so learned and we've reached the point we do not believe in fairy tales, and God is one of the fairy tales, and so we have debunked God, and our faith is in ourselves. And if you've chosen to place faith in God, this God that's supposedly out there somewhere, then you have taken an irrational leap of faith. And historically, there have been times throughout the history of man where those who believed in God were literally, they were either medicated or they were incarcerated because they were irrational. And what do you do with irrational people? You do something to try to bring them back to reality. And I would say to you this morning that faith then is not irrational. It's not a leap into the dark. Faith is not blind. Faith is not the opposite of reason. Faith is substantive. Faith has substance. You see, there's no such thing, I believe, as blind faith. Genuine faith always rests upon the firm underlying substance of sufficient evidence to warrant confidence in what is not seen. Let me read that one more time. Genuine faith always rests upon the firm underlying substance. Think about that for a moment, because we're going to expand on that thought. Genuine faith always rests upon the firm, not something that's flimsy. Underlying substance is not just smoke and mirrors, not just feelings. There is substance to faith. Underlying substance of sufficient evidence to warrant confidence in what is not seen. Now, friends, like all of us gathered here this morning, we've never seen God. Yet we accept the vast evidence that is there that God does exist. And we have discovered that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, we're going to talk about a Greek word here for a moment. And the Greek word is hopostasis. And let's put it on the screen there, just a definition. Hopostasis is, in the classical Greek, it refers to a substructure or a foundation for a building. So we would say it's the bedrock. It is the foundation on which we build a physical building. You know, it's interesting, as you go throughout the Holy Land and many of the other places of antiquity, you'll discover that there's substructures. They put massive amounts of time and energy into building the right foundation. And if you were to go and see the pyramids today, the reason why the pyramids still stand is because they went to the bedrock for their foundation. Or the walls surrounding the city of Jerusalem. Or some of the ancient structures around the world, they have a foundation. And so the word that is used here, hypostasis, is the classical Greek referring to a substructure or foundation. So friends, this morning, faith in God, provides the foundation on which we can build our lives, our hopes, and our dreams. Faith is the substance on which we build. The Bible says you can build on hay, wood, and stubble, but will not stand the test of time. There's only one foundation that's going to stand, and the Bible says that rock or that foundation is none other than the person of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says if we will place our faith and build our lives on that foundation, when the storms come, we will stand. When the earth rocks, we will stand. Because we are on the rock Christ Jesus. And the Bible says, the fool builds on sand, whereas the wise build on the rock. So faith then, by its very classic definition, means a foundation. We believe in God. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Christ his Son. We believe that on the third day, he arose from the dead. We believe that he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. We believe that he's coming back in power and in great might. We believe that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We believe these things, and these have become the foundation for our life. However, there's much more to the meaning of this term, hypostasis. Hypostasis can also refer to a legal document, which was used to determine the rightful owner of a piece of contested property. Hypostasis literally in the Greek can be interpreted this way, the title deed. Now each and every one of us, we have some titles to some bits of property possibly, or to an automobile. And on that, it states who the rightful legal owner is of that bit of property or of that automobile or anything else that is titled. I want you to imagine with me for a moment. You're out on vacation. You've enjoyed your time with the family. You come home. It's late at night. And you drive up to your house, which you left locked, and you find the lights are on. The television, you can see the reflection as it is shining off the face of someone sitting in your chair. Watching your television in your house, eating the food that was in your refrigerator, and so you enter the house. Now, this is not a fictitious story. This actually happened to my niece, LaShawn. LaShawn drives for a commercial bus company, Hemphill, which drives most of, you know, the who's who of the music industry today, including the President of the United States and others. And so she spends about 300 days out of the year on the road. And so she's home very seldom, and somebody noticed, here's a house that is hardly ever used. And so they decided that they would go in and they would be the squatters in LaShawn's house. And so you go in and you say, what are you doing in my house? And they say, what do you mean your house? I live here. This is my place. And so you have some harsh words back and forth of who should leave. All of this is only going to be settled by one document. And that document is what? The title deed. Title deed says unequivocally, stand up in any court of law at any time, any place, this piece of property belongs to the person that owns and whose name is spelled out on the title deed. Friends, I want you to understand, your faith is the title deed. You see, by faith, the Christian considers himself already in possession of what has been promised to him. And so the Christian says, the promises of God are my promises. I have the title to them. God gave me faith when he created me. And I have chosen to place my faith in God and in the promises of God. And though some of the promises are yet in the womb of time, will yet to become, these promises are mine by faith. I have the title. Let me explain how this works in practical everyday application. Many of you have known Don Bernander, which went home to be with the Lord this past year. Don would often tell the story of how, as a rather young believer, he had broke his foot, hobbled around on crutches. He loved to fish. Anyone that knew Don knew of the bonanza, knew of his boat, knew that he loved to fish. Difficult getting around, hobbling on this cast, hobbling around on these crutches. And he heard that in Kenosha, Wisconsin, there was going to be a healing service in prayer for the sick. Don would tell me over and over, I knew that God was going to heal me in that service. And so not only did he go to the service, he also got the shoe that had been on the foot where now the cast is. He polished it and took it along with him to the service. That night when Don was prayed for, the evangelist said to him, if you believe that you've been healed, I want you to stomp your foot. Now in those days, many times beneath the platform, that is where they built the water baptistry. And so Don didn't know he was standing above the water baptistry. And so the evangelist says to him, if you believe you've been healed, stomp your foot. Well, remember, he has such faith. He has already claimed this thing long before arriving in Kenosha, long before arriving at the church. The shoe that needs to go on that foot has been polished. It is with him. And Don stomps his foot. He stomps it so hard that it almost went through that lid to the baptistry. It literally cracked open, busted open that cast, of which he put his shoe back on and walked back home. You see, faith is the title deed. Faith says simply this: God said it, I believe it, and as far as I'm concerned, that settles it for me. Faith then is the title deed for that which we need from God. Don't let anyone fool you. Faith is not unreasonable. Faith is not smoke and mirrors. It is not craziness. Faith has substance. You see, faith is based on God. God exists. God created all things. God created man. As he created man, he created us for relationship. And that God is not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. And so God has given to each one this measure of faith so that they might have a relationship in connection with their God. Faith is based on then the promises of God. Early in the Old Testament, God declared to the children of Israel, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty good stuff. God said it. We believe it. That becomes the title deed. We say that healing is ours in Jesus' name. The word says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in me. Friends, I want you to know that promise is still good to this very day. All things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purposes. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm in the midst of storms right now. And I'm beginning to sense that, you know, everything round about me is being shaken and beginning to fall apart. Friends, let me tell you, In the midst of the storm, faith works. In the midst of whatever storm you're in this morning, God is still on his throne, and God is still mighty. He is still the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. He is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is still the mighty God, and he is still worthy of our praise and worthy of our returning back and placing that God-given faith in him. Faith is substantive. Faith is based on the promises of God. You know, there are thousands of promises in our Bible. And each one of these many, many thousands of promises, each and every one of them are yours for the taking. Hebrews 11 and verse 1, listen one more time. Now faith is the what? Say it. Substance. Faith is the substance. Faith is the foundation. Faith is the title deed. Faith says, it might look dark now, but God's about to turn the light on. There may be pain for the moment, but God is the God of health and wholeness and healing. That this may be a dark moment financially, but God is the God that is Jehovah Jireh. He is the God of all resources. And we place our faith in him just like we'd aim a laser. We say, I will not just look at the problems round about and multiply and exaggerate the size of my problem, but rather I will place my faith in God. And I will stand on that foundation that in the beginning it was God. And when it's all shaken out and when everything else has fallen apart, it will still be God. And we placed our hopes and our dreams in him as the Lord our God. Yes, faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it is the evidence of things not seen. That word evidence means he is the proof, he is the absolute conviction of the unseen. When I read through Revelation chapter 21, Revelation chapter 22, I'm amazed at what God has prepared for us. The Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for him. Jesus said, I'm going to go to the Father. And I'm going to return. The angels, when they watch men standing there gazing up in the sky, they said to those on the Mount of Ascension, why do you stand gazing up in the sky? This same Jesus which was taken up from you shall come again in like manner. All of these promises, when I read through Revelation 21 and 22, and I see the beautiful stream that flows from the throne of God, bringing life wherever it goes throughout the New Jerusalem. As I read about the tree of life being restored, as I begin to read about streets of gold and, you know, the miraculous, the marvelous things. No, I have never been to heaven, but I'll tell you what, I've walked those streets many a time as I've read through the scriptures. And I've sat alongside that river. And I've talked to the one that has created it all. And that's all by faith. Now the world round about us would try to tell us, well, that's craziness. I'll tell you what's crazy. It takes more faith to say there is no God and that all of this just evolved. That there is no beginning, there is no creator, there's no plan, there's no rhyme, there's no reason, there's no laws that hold the universe in place. There is nothing other than a single cell amoeba that was floating around in a pond, and it became more and more complex until finally became human life as we know it today. No, friend, let me tell you, I place my faith. I've chosen, just as the atheist chooses not to believe in God. I have chosen, and most of us in this room, we have chosen, God is our foundation. God is where we stand. And faith becomes our title deed. And the enemy comes and says, no, you can't be healed. And we say, we polish the shoe. We're going to walk home with it. We say, though all of hell breaks out against us, when the dust is settled, Jesus will be Lord. Hallelujah. So faith then has substance. You know, there's a marvelous verse in the Old Testament, book of Numbers, chapter 23. Here's what it says. God is not a man that he should lie. Have you ever had someone lie to you? Some of you are saying, I ain't gonna raise my hand for nothing. God is not a man that he should lie. And the church says, amen. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. The church says, amen. Hath he said, that is God, hath he said, and shall he not do it? Will he or will he not? He will. Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? He will make it good. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. I've got the title. Got the title. You've got the title. Faith. You know, maybe your faith has gone through some beating. Let me tell you, faith, at times, I picture the Apostle Paul when I think of faith. He's out on that ship in the Mediterranean Sea, then from there on to the Aegean. Horrible storm. The ship is all busted up. Ultimately, if you read the entire account, Book of Acts, he grabs a hold of a piece of the broken ship and he floats ashore. Then he's trying to dry off and make things worse. Out of the fire comes a snake. Grabs him, bites him. I mean, that's a bad day. That's just a bad day when you've been out on the ship and the ship goes down. You float to shore on a piece of wood, start a fire to dry out, get bit by a snake. I mean, that's just a bad day. But Paul never left his faith. Paul knew that there could be some trials that would come his way. But remember, he's on the rock. And he knows no matter what, he's going to pass through it. Storms don't come to stay. They come to pass. Good friend of mine, psychologist down in Akron, Ohio, he would always say, problems of life, they don't come to stay, they come to pass, and they will pass by. But I'll tell you what, when everything comes, when everything goes, there'll still be God. Now, some of you have taken a beating. And friends, we don't have answers for everything that happens on this side of eternity. You said, I don't know if I can trust God anymore. You said, I don't know if God really loves me, if God really cares, and I do have faith in Him. Why has this not gone my way? Friend, I can't tell you why. I can tell you this. Here's the things I do know. This is the foundation. When everything else does not make sense, you stand on the foundation. And the foundation is that God loves you. God cares. God's got a plan. That plan is not fully known. But when the dust is settled, you will say, God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good.